Aloha, old friends, and soon-to-be new ones. I'm Melissa, and I'd like to welcome you to the 6-Bit Storybooks podcast, a podcast that encourages you to slow down and love the moment you can create. This podcast is for folks already passionate about creatively using fiber for knitting, spinning, or weaving their own story. It is a podcast for new knitters, seasoned knitters, those thinking of knitting, and those who have said, I'll never knit in a million years. 6-Bit Storybook shares more than a love of knitting and fibery endeavors. We are devoted to telling our best story and helping others do the same. So join us. If you already subscribe to the 6-Bit Storybooks quarterly publication, chances are you know what we're about. This podcast deepens the story that you've already begun in issue 1, Unearth. And by the way, thank you so much for subscribing. Now, if you don't subscribe, no worries. Our story shared here on the podcast can be enjoyed on its own or with the beauty shared on our 6-Bit Storybook website. So thanks for joining today, episode 7, Starting Strong. Today, I am joined by Melody, and we share a few different approaches to starting a project. I am thrilled to share our free download for listeners this week, and even more excited about the easy way that you can get your download delivered to you. If you are in the U.S., you can simply text Episode 7, that's EPISODE and the number 7 with no spaces to 44222 and give us a few moments to deliver it to your inbox. It's just that simple. You text episode 7 to number 44222. For our friends and fellow storytellers outside of the U.S., we are working on creating this method for you. The way you can grab your beautiful and helpful PDF on tips and thoughts for starting strong is simply to head over to our website, www.6bitsstorybooks.com, and click on podcasts in the upper right corner and find episode 7 for the show notes. And now, let us join Melody. Aloha, Melody.
Good morning, Melissa.
Yes, it's morning where I am, yes. And it's afternoon where you are.
Yes.
One of the things I think is so wonderful is that you and I can talk, and you've already experienced your day, so I feel like, okay, Melody has already forged a path ahead in today.
I've already had 2 cups of coffee.
Yes, she's made my day easier. So here where I am, it's 7:45 in the morning, which means that in Latvia, it is?
Almost three.
Almost three. So yeah, we're quite a bit of difference in time.
7 hours.
Yeah, so you've already laid out the day, and you're like superwoman to me now because you've got everything accomplished. I'm just having my first cup of coffee.
I mean, the future.
I know. It's like a Doctor Who episode. So, well, I'm so glad that we have the time to sit and chat. I missed you last week.
Yes. But I feel it's been ages.
I know. And it really hasn't because we talk all the time. But this is my special cherished moment with you where I just get to sit and have my coffee and we don't have to actually not that work is fun. It really is. But I like having different compartments for our friendship and our relationship. And so I like the fact that this is our just hang out.
And sharing just our story to others.
Yeah. And hearing back from them. I've got a couple of emails I need to just double check and touch base with the ladies who wrote them. But looking forward to sharing some emails in the future from some of our listeners. They're so fun. I love how they're just so good about sharing. And we have something awesome that we're starting that listeners can plug into. You want to share that with everybody?
Oh, yes. So yesterday, yesterday the Unearth KL started. So it started on the 2nd of November and is going to end on the 2nd of January. So there's plenty of time to participate. So the Unearth KL, it's our first knit along.
Yay!
So basically, we invite you to choose a pattern or patterns and knit during this time. Mm-hmm. You can share your work in progress on Ravelry. We have our Ravelry group, which is the 6 bits storybook, so 6 bits.
Hey, that's a really good question.
Good question.
It is. I believe it's 6 bits because I thought 6-bit storybooks would be a little long.
Yes.
But I'll have the link in the show notes and we'll clarify it next time. Thank you, Melody. You're so good. I'm writing that down. What is our group?
So we have a special thread where you can participate. You can share your progress, your work in progress. And we will have the giveaway in there as well.
Yeah.
You can also show your work in progress on Instagram. Tag us. We are 6-Bit Storybooks on Instagram. And use the hashtag UnearthKAL.
Yeah. Well, we have several different options for everybody. And do you have an idea of which one you're going to participate in or which ones? Because I don't know if listeners are aware that they can participate in as many of the – we have different threads or different, I guess, quote-unquote, chapters, options that you can pick and choose how you want to join in.
We have a big menu.
Yeah. Well, and I wanted to – it's not super big. It's like 4 a la carte menu items, but they all blend so well together that that if you don't mind, can I just real quick pop in and
say?
So what I'm excited about is the Ohana idea. Ohana meaning just kind of everybody is your family. You embrace as much as your arms can get around for people, you know, and that's kind of what I want to do is like open my arms and, hey, come on, knitters, come on over here. Let's have some fun. And this time of year, especially for a KAL, I know I was talking with someone else. She's kind of given some advice. She's like, you know, this time of year, nobody's going to join the KAL because it's so much Christmas knitting and they're not going to have things finished. Mm-hmm. And I started thinking, well, who cares if they have something finished? I mean, that was like in my mind. And I realized that, yeah, do we really, I mean, do we not care? We're super stoked if listeners finish a project. And I think the beauty of our first issue is we have projects of assorted ranges, you know, the Karen's leg warmers or wrist warmers, you could do boom in a weekend if you, you know, wanted to dedicate a weekend to knitting. And then we have more long-term projects. So if someone, for instance, picked the Discovery scarf or the Avon's faster than Zed, the Zed sweater, those are longer projects. So kudos to you if you can start them and finish them before the 2nd of December. But don't take this the wrong way, but we really don't care about the finishing for the rewarding end of things. Mm-hmm. We just want people to kind of climb aboard, enter in the story, and share with us. So
yeah, it's all about the community.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And that's what I'm stoked about for Instagram. Instagram, if people just click on the hashtag, mm-hmm. and just go to other people's postings that they're doing, people mm-hmm. who are encouraging other people are just as much a part of this KAL as the knitters. So we have knitters who finish projects, knitters who just start the project, which I love that progression thread. Mm-hmm. And you can just show how you're going along, or you can post on Instagram, or you can simply pop in on the Instagram feeds and encourage through a kind word, an add a girl, add a boy, and they have an opportunity to win stuff too. So mm-hmm. I'm super stoked about that.
Me too.
Well, let's hear what you are going to be doing for the KL. And what I'd like to do is introduce listeners to today's segment. We're going to be starting a project, obviously, for the KAL, but that's what we want to talk about. Melody and I are going to share today how we are as knitters, not people who make things for other people to share in the journey, and as far as like creating a pattern for people, but just having a pattern already and joining on board. So I am going to quietly listen to Melody talk first, because I have to admit, right before we started chatting, actually, no, we started chatting already. I had to put you on hold. I ran downstairs to get my yarn, and then I ran back upstairs, and then I had to run back downstairs and get my umbrella swift. So I'm going to sit here and ball up my beautiful yarn for the Discovery scarf, which I'm so excited about knitting. That's yours. Can I tell everybody what I'm going to ball real quick?
Of course.
Okay. So I have in my squeezy little hands right now. I have, it's from the 2015 collection of Buckaloo View. It is her Sport 4. And oh my goodness, it's the yarn that you used to knit, to knit the scarf first. So yes. Discovery was knit in Sport 4, which is 100% super fine alpaca. And yours was knit in walnut. I mean, it was dyed in walnut.
Yes.
Mine is dyed with marigolds.
Oh.
I know. Did you see the pretty article with the marigolds that she made? So those dyed my yarn. So I'm actually untwisting the skein and squeezing it up to my nose. Oh my gosh, it smells so good.
That's a big skein.
It is. It's really, let's see. It's long. It is 300 yards, 274 meters for 100 grams. And I'm actually going to put it on my umbrella swift right now. And I am going to ball it while you talk first.
Yes. So on my side, I have three skeins of Jamieson's Shetland Heather. So it's a 100% Shetland wool that has been grown and spun in Shetland. Oh. It's very, very beautiful yarn. And I'm using I don't know how I could describe it. It's creamish, brownish, grayish.
Wow, the colors, ishy.
Yeah. it looks like, I don't know, a dirty sheep fleece. Maybe.
Girl, everybody's going to be chomping at the bit to get their dirty sheep fleece yarn.
It's beautiful. And yeah, I think that the color is right, because it's going to show that the stitches very well. The Tree of Life stitch with the reverse stockinette and the lace as well.
Because you are knitting the...
Golden wood.
I just wanted to remind knitters that you're knitting the golden wood, which is your design too.
The golden wood. And yeah, the color is very good, because I have a mustard coat. So that's going to work very well.
I know. I love your mustard coat. Now, is that a woolen, like a fold or felted?
Yes, it's mohair. Mohair wool, so it's very fluffy. I'm covered in winter. I'm covered with wool from head to toe, literally.
Yeah, because it gets cold where you are.
Oh yes, definitely yes.
And I mean, like, real cold. Like, I complain. Like right now, it's probably 73 here. It's definitely colder than Kauai, but. It's definitely
not. You cannot say it's cold. I'm almost in Siberia, Melissa.
I know. As I said, when I talk about, oh my gosh, I'm walking the dog and I'm messaging you in the morning. I'm like,
in flip flops.
Yes, with my little slippers. And I'm just like, oh my gosh, it's so cold. It's like 64. It's crazy. And then you're like, it is 1 or 2. And I'm just like, 1 or 2 what? Like, degrees.
Yeah.
So you're knitting golden wood in Jamieson's fleece in the Au Naturel Dirty Sheepy colorway?
Yeah, the colorway is 105. There's a name for the colorway, but I wouldn't be able to pronounce it. So 105.
Well, I think it's fun that you and I are starting the KAL together today, although you've already cast on, yes?
No,
No.
actually,
Oh
not
my
yet.
gosh, this is so fun. So I'm balling my yarn and you've already balled yours.
Yeah, I'm petting the yarn actually
You're
at the
pet.
moment.
Which I think if a non-knitter was listening to this podcast, first, good for you for making it this far into the podcast and you don't knit. But secondly, if they've made it this far, then they're probably not going to understand. But if you're a knitter, it feels good to just take time with your yarn. And that's what we want to talk about for a little bit with knitters. And what we'd like to do, dear listeners, is chat with you about how we start our projects as just picking up a project to knit, not creating a project, but just picking it up and going. And the reason we're doing this is because you and I have similar things about how we start a project, but
That's
we
true.
also have unique things. And we're really hoping that this would be an opportunity for those of you who have listened to podcast episodes already, and you're feeling like, okay, hey, I'm becoming friends with Melody and Melissa, that this is a point for you to really start interacting with us. That's our goal. Our goal really is to provide you, dear listener, with great resources, which is why we try every single episode to have a free gift for you to download and use and apply and learn from. We want to, of course, interact with you and teach something if we can, but we want you all to complete that circle and to share back with us what you are experiencing and what you do. And we really want our stories to be more integrated with one another. Right, Melody? I don't think either one of us want to do this podcast just to, just to put stuff out there. We would love to have things brought back. So as we start our projects today, we're going to tell you about them and Melody's going to go first. So how do you start a project that you're not designing, not one that you have to start from scratch and make, but you already have the golden wood pattern. It's written, hooray, hooray. And so when you have a project to knit on your own, what are some things that you keep in mind?
So when I have a specific project in mind, the first thing that I do is to research yarn. And because I want to make sure that I will end up wearing the actual garment that I spend time knitting, I spend a lot of time researching for the perfect yarn for the perfect pattern. So usually if I have already a yarn in mind, I will go to Ravelry and check out the project that has been that have been created in this specific yarn, and I will look at the different projects and see if there's a color that I'm drawn to. And if not, I will go to the colorway section of a specific yarn, look at the different colorways, and you can search within the colorway. You can look at all the projects that have been created in that specific colorway. So then it really helps me to see how close how the color could be in real life. Because when you just see, the colorway that has been photographed by a company, it's very different on different monitors. So I guess it's a bit more accurate when actual knitters take pictures, so then you can see the colors. So yeah, I spent a lot of time researching for the yarn. That's really my first step. Then, because I'm in the middle of Latvia and I don't have access to local yarn shop. I mean, I have y local yarn shop, but I wouldn't buy yarn, or I wouldn't be able to find the specific yarn that I want to buy. So,
And
what I do.
do you mind just clarifying? Because I think sometimes people think, oh, my yarn shop doesn't have what I want. You really are in a unique situation because your yarn shop isn't like some people consider a yarn shop. Do you mind just really quickly
Of course.
telling listeners? Because we love supporting local yarn shops when at all possible, but your yarn shop has a special niche for creating certain things and not so much for supplying you with yarn that you need.
Yeah. So my local yarn shop is Hobby Wool, which is located in the old town of Riga. And it's more, I would say it's more of a souvenir shop because they sell already made garments, hand knit, of course. They sell different, for example, the Latvian Mitten book. They sell handmade goods. And they also have another room within the yarn shop where they have different yarns. But usually the shelves are quite empty and they don't really sell commercial yarn or even, you know, normal yarn that you would find in a yarn shop. They have like these massive cones on top of the shelves. And usually, yeah, it's Latvian wool. So it's a full ply yarn that they have like a lot of different colorways. But, you know, it's, even though fingering weight is very versatile, sometimes you have something very specific in mind and you cannot knit everything with that yarn, especially when I researched the yarn that I want to use. So if I want to make something a bit more rustic, I could, for example, double this yarn and create something. I have a bit of Latvian wool and I've been knitting with that recently, actually, but you would not be able to find any commercial yarn, really. So they have a bit of rowan, but they don't really receive a lot of stock and you don't know when they're going to fill up the shop. So yeah, it's a bit of a gamble when you go there. I mostly go there, you know, for just enjoying the place. And it's a very, very beautiful place. So I like to go there and just look if they have new things, but usually I left empty handed. So yeah.
Yeah. And I just think it's, it just kind of shows your personality that you, you do support the shop when you can. You've bought things before, but but it just makes sense for you. It works for you to get others. And so, you know, the takeaway for that, listeners, is encouraging you, you know, as you can, support your local yarn shop. And then feel good about that when you do support them. And then when you do need another bit of yarn for another project, then you don't feel bad. I mean, you can feel good about supporting all sorts of people.
That's true.
Okay, so you research your yarn, you get your yarn in mind, and then where do your wanderings take you?
Well, first, as I said, I need to find the yarn. So
you haven't.
Usually, there's like the whole the whole researching thing. So I need to check out which online yarn shop sell which yarn in Europe, or you know, sometimes I go to Distash on Ravelry.
Oh yeah.
And I can get really, really good deals, you know, people that don't want to use this yarn or, yeah, even though sometimes I get yarn from the US or from Canada and the shipping cost can be quite pricey for the price of the yarn. Mm. Yeah. So for the price of the yarn, I think, you know, it's totally fine. And I feel that I rescued skin, so I feel good about that as well.
You're so cute.
So yeah, when I have the yarn, well, you know, it also allows me to discover new yarn if I browse a new online yarn shop. So I discover new yarns and then I go back to Ravelry, check out the projects, look at the colorways, and you know, from thread to thread I discover new things. So then I have new yarns in mind for my next project, and so on.
So your yarn research is actually quite a bit of fun for you.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
You know, when I cannot sleep at night sometimes, you know, the crazy lady at 3 a.m. with her dark red eyes looking at Ravelry and yarn that she could buy.
That's so me. Funny. That's not when you can't sleep. It's why you can't sleep.
Yeah, also. That's true.
Okay, so it starts out with a fun time of research. And then, well, do you want to just walk all through your beginner steps or do you want to go back and forth?
As you wish. You can share your first steps if you want to.
Oh, you sound like the Princess Bride. Don't you just love that movie? As You Wish. Tell me you've seen it.
I actually stopped in the middle of the movie.
I date me, what? Was it because, please just lie to me at this point. Tell me it was because the power went out. Just tell me it's because the power went out. Oh my gosh, just tell me that the power went out. Okay, I know what I'm buying you for
the
Christmas.
The power went out. Okay. Definitely.
Oh my gosh. Okay. All right. You know what? I've got to let you
forget about it.
You go ahead and you continue. You go ahead. Tell us. Well, actually, no. I'll hop in since I'm already talking, and I'm upset with you for not loving the movie. All right. So you actually spend time researching your yarn, which I think is fun, and it's so cool. Or cool is probably the wrong word. It's so interesting, which is also probably not the right word. But I love how knitters can be at different places and still share a commonality, because for a long time, that's what I would do. I would research and I would check. And when you were talking about checking Ravelry to look at projects, I was thinking, oh yeah, I remember when we first moved to Oahu and, you know, I didn't really have a knitting, real life knitting community. That's what I would do. And I haven't done that in so long, because from that stemmed really interesting yarn relationships, where a bunch of my friends are in the yarn business and they produce yarn and they dye yarn. And so I have already kind of established a network of yarn relationships. So the research has been done. I mean, I do, of course, do research for different yarns. But if I'm going to knit a pattern, generally what I will do, if it's not the yarn that is recommended that I'm using, which in this case I am, then I try to go and think of a friend that I love that makes yarn that I'd like to use their yarn. So for me, the starting steps would be, all right, I need a really good sport weight yarn. Who? And then my brain just kind of flips through all these smiling faces of fabulous, which right now I think all the yarn friendships I have are with really amazing women. I guess I need to branch out and meet some men that dye yarn. Well, meet men to dye yarn, like learn from yarn. But I usually think of, who do I know that has a yarn in this base that I want to use, because I want to tell her about, oh my gosh, I was using your yarn to knit this project and it was fabulous. But right now, joy upon joy, I am actually using the recommended yarn, which, to be honest, that's usually my route. I love trying to replicate what the creator of the pattern did and learn to walk in their shoes. And since you used the Buckaloo View 100% super fine alpaca, that's what I decided, okay, I'm doing this. And so that's what I'm almost done balling right now. So what's your second step after you've kind of figured out this is the yarn, this is the one, I'm in love, what do you do next?
Usually, I go to the post office to get the yarn. That's my happy walk. And then when I come back home, I try not to rush because then I'm sweaty and, you know. So I come back home and I try not to be super, super excited, which is difficult. I went to the post office this morning, actually, and that's exactly what happened.
You got sweaty and over dramatic. Yes. Okay.
And I came back home and I took pictures of the yarn. And that's really, you know, it's kind of really the first step of starting a new project. I really like to document every step of my journey knitting a specific project. And it starts with the yarn and, my first impression of the yarn. So I like to take a picture and then I have, you know, it's like the starting point of creating the pattern. knitting the pattern, not creating.
Yeah. You just said something though that it was like bing, 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 the flags go off. I try to listen to people and I'm always wondering what the deeper story is. You said for you, it's very important, the documentation, I'm guessing for posterity so you can learn from it, but maybe not. What is it that drives you to document the different steps?
I'm really passionate about keeping memories, and I guess it's my way to kind of slow down and fight with the time, mm-hmm. if you will.
Yes.
It's just like time passes really, really fast, and I love collecting memories in with different mediums. And I guess journaling is one of them, embroidery, photography. It's really my battle with time, I guess. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. And then it's always nice. You can learn from that. And you could, for example, with photography, you could always see the pictures that you took, for example, a year before. And then you could say like, oh, my style changed so much. And now I'm doing it this way. Or even, you know, for the yarn that you decided to, that you were drawn to at a certain time, maybe, mm-hmm. maybe it's going to change. So, you know, it's some kind of, I don't know how to say this word, introspective.
Oh yeah. That's introspective. Absolutely. Yeah.
So
for someone who doesn't know how to say words, you say them so beautifully.
So yeah, that's my second step.
Okay, so your second step is to document, which it's funny because our steps are similar but in different order. Before I start documenting, you know, I am going through, and I like to think a lot and play with the story in my head, whether it's an article, whether it's the knitting pattern, whether it's whatever. I kind of like to spend selfish time inside of myself with whatever I'm doing before I release it. And that release is either sharing with someone in words about what I'm doing, or sharing even with no one, like the million private blog posts that I have or drafts that I've written up about things behind the scenes on the With Mel blog that I do. I have lots of time to just sit and put that in a special place that only I will see. I don't know if you do that with your blog. If you know, you write things that you never publish. You just have these drafts.
Oh, yeah, secret boards.
yeah, absolutely. But even before I get to that where I just even release it, I like to keep it just for a moment. I don't know if other moms will identify with this, but we learn to be so selfless as mothers. And I think too, you know, as wives or girlfriends and just people, you really learn that the people around you need you to share with them, but you need to share things with yourself too. And so I covet, and I don't even think this is a strong enough word, but I do. I covet this time just to be inside my thoughts. And so I will swatch. And I tell you what, people talk about swatching like it is the redheaded stepchild of the world. And I don't. I love it. I will sometimes, people laugh and they're like, whatever, crazy lady. I will buy a skein of yarn to do nothing but swatch. And I don't like calling it swatching. I did a class on swatching, an online class, and then I've done them in person before too. But I don't call it swatching. I call it with playing with yarn. So I will spend a skein and then wish I had bought another skein just to play with. And I do that even in my patterns when I leave. When I tell you how much yarn you need, I make sure that I include enough so you can swatch, because I think that step is paramount for knitters, not just to learn about the yarn and learn about how the yarn's going to behave with the pattern, but it's that time that you get to learn about yourself. You get to spend a couple of moments just the object to people looking in on you. They're seeing you knitting a silly little square for a project to check your gauge to make sure that your product lines up with the product that you want to recreate. But I see it as it's obligatory time that you're meant to sit still for a designated amount of time to create it, and you get to be in that moment. You get to play with the yarn. You get to discover the yarn. You get to rediscover the yarn if it's one you use all the time. You get to have a few minutes where you just have a timeout for yourself. Not a bad timeout where, you know, the nuns sending you to the corner because you were bad in class kind of timeout, but a timeout where more like a at-home spa moment or a respite in, mm-hmm. you know, you're on a hike and you get to sit down on the rock and actually see the forest through the trees. You know, so for me, the swatching or the playing with the yarn is the second step before I do anything, before I write down anything, before I start my journal. I don't even put like the pattern and the snippets of yarn in my journal until I play with the yarn first.
Wow.
Because I like to play with it.
That's interesting.
Yeah. But yeah, I think it's cool that that we both love knitting and we approach it differently. And they're both great. They're both great ways for us to do it. Mm-hmm. All right. So after you do your pictures and your documentation of the, or not, you just do your pictures. You haven't documented anything yet. You've researched the yarn. You've made the happy walk to get the yarn.
Mm-hmm. You have it? Yes, I took the picture.
You took the picture?
I just took the picture. Yes.
Oh, today you took the pictures of the yarn too?
Yes, I did.
Oh. Did you post it already on Instagram?
Yes, I did.
Oh my gosh. Okay, while you're talking, I'm going to go look. This is happening in real time, people. Okay. Okay, so what do you do after you post the picture? So this is what you're getting ready to do next step then. Yes? Yes.
So.
We're hearing it first.
So if that's a skin, I usually wind it up on my old Swift that I acquired at my local yarn shop. Or if it's a ball, usually, well, I start knitting straight away. I start swatching and just trying to see which needle would work the best. And what, you know, for example, with the picture that I took this morning, I ordered two different colors and I'm not sure which one I'm going to use. So I will probably need to swatch with the two colors just to see which one would work the best with the stitch that I have. And yeah, just because the yarn that I ordered is also different from the previous yarn that I have used, so I need to swatch again and see that how the yarn is going to behave, really. So yeah, that's the third step, swatching, but it comes after taking pictures and everything. For me, you know, I know that it's very important, so I do it most of the time. I mean, for designing, I do it most of the time. Mm-hmm. When it's personal, I should be more serious about it, you know, because, for example, there's a hat that I knit not a long time ago, and I haven't done a swatch. And what happened is that the yarn grew so much after blocking that the hat turned out to be at least three times too big for my already massive head, so I had to rip back. It is.
It's just because you have a really great brain.
Oh, yes, for sure. Well, my brain could fit three times in that hat, so I had to rip back and start again. So I should learn from my mistakes and really apply what I'm doing when I create a pattern to my personal knitting. So,
well, you should take notes on that, because truly I just made my calendar on November the 1st. I made, I made a monthly, weekly, daily calendar for school, magazine, blog, podcast, exercise, study. So I have all these, and I made the podcast and blog calendar. And one of the things we're going to do is learning from our mistakes, which maybe that'll be the one that you can do on your own, girl. I'm just kidding, because I don't want to tell people about all my mistakes. It would take like, it would be like a 18 part podcast.
Yeah, I was already seeing all of the mistakes in my head.
So when you are doing the swatching, the swatching is kind of your third step, but it leads into the activity of the journaling and the responding to it.
Yes, I usually keep the swatch. When it's done, I have a special folder where I like to keep and label all of my swatches. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's a way for me to also, it pushes myself to swatch as well, because at the end I can say, you know, oh, I have a new swatch to add to my special folder. And, mm-hmm. you know, it's kind of, I really need to push myself sometimes to do it. But at the end, you know, it's kind of my little reward to have like a new, a new thing to put in that special folder.
And
I keep the swatches and I look back at them from time to time, and I can really get inspired just by looking at them once more and seeing all the things that I could do with the yarn in different ways. So yeah, I think that could be a good idea for people that don't really like swatching,
mm-hmm.
Just trying to create a special place where to keep all of these swatches, and maybe that could be a good start to, just to start swatching for almost every project.
Yeah, and you know, it's a couple of thoughts on that is, you know, when I did teach the class, which is funny because I have people, like even this past Friday on Halloween, was it Halloween? The Halloween blog post that I did, I had people say, they mentioned something 2 years after taking that swatch course, where one of the things I did is encourage people to make a swatch journal for posterity. And it's so, like, I have a 3-ring binder, or actually I have several, but what I'll do is I'll put them in as entries, kind of like you're talking mm-hmm. about. You add them to it. And the fun thing is you can also use them as a reference if you are pressed for time and you feel like, okay, I want to make this hat and I just want to cast on, and you want to skip the swatching because you're using yarn you've already done. You don't have to try to figure out, well, what size needle? You can just go back to your book, mm-hmm. and there you have yarn X on needle size Y, and this is what I created with it. And mm-hmm. you know, and so you're doing yourself a Benny. You know, you're getting something done that you can reward yourself with many times mm-hmm. over.
Yeah.
So our processes are a little out of order, but after I do my swatch,
mm-hmm.
after you do your journaling, you do your swatch, or your pictures and stuff, you do your journaling and swatch. Mm-hmm. I do my swatch, and then I journal. And the way I journal is I get excited about it because, again, for me, it's just an opportunity to create something.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to hopefully be, and this sounds crazy, but I want to be one of those moms that, or grandmoms or great grandmoms that have these hope chests full of journals and things that later on, when I'm no longer here to share with people that I love or their kids that they love, they can read these things
mm-hmm.
and maybe be inspired to not be the person I was at this particular time, or to be more like great, 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 great grandma was, and look, she knit something. And all those knitters that we read about in these historical pieces that created things that influence our lives many years later, mm-hmm. many years later. I just think that these people that are going to come after us that knit, we owe it to them, even though they're not even here on the planet yet. I just feel like our art is so beautiful and so worth it that I like to take the time to journal and write things down. And my journals are kind of crazy. I've seen yours, so actually, maybe it's not crazy. Maybe it's
you've seen the pretty one, but I have the ugly ones.
Oh, yeah, I do have the ugly ones, which actually I like the ugly ones because they're crazy. Like I write sideways, I write upside down, I fill it in. It's not linear. It's definitely free flow, and that's my personal one, which maybe one day I'll get brave enough to show the personal one. And then I do the pretty ones where it's my final draft version of journaling.
Yes.
And what I do is I'll snip pieces of the yarn and I tape mm-hmm. it on there. And I used to just use clear yarn. And then I will say it was because of just seeing somebody else using, and they weren't using it for any particular knitting project, but they had that washi tape. And I was like, oh my gosh. So now I put like cute little washi tape on it. I save the snippets of the yarn, which I'm sure we share things, but as I tick off my list, you can add to your, from yours to this. And we have it in the PDF, but pieces of the yarn label. If I have the yarn label, I stick it in there. I write down and record information about the swatch, the gauge, the needles I used, what stitch. Sometimes if I make a small enough or duplicate one, I'll add it in there. I kind of respond and journal about just the yarn. And then I take a full page and I just talk about, okay, this is my plan. Because I love coming back later on and either saying, hey, the plan worked, I did it, or halfway through, I realized that I don't want to use this project and this yarn and these needles and this, or I start seeing where it fell apart for the project that I never finished. You know, if I couldn't get excited, but maybe two or three sentences about the project and the yarn and the needles and the course that I was about to embark off setting, then I can go back and I can kind of look back and see, you know what? I'm finding that every time I use size 0000 needles, I'm so excited about starting this project. And in my head, I'm excited. And then I write it down and I only can write two or three things that I'm excited about. And every time I use needles that are smaller than size zero, I never finish the project. So you can kind of see how that theme runs when you're looking back at your journals. So those are a couple of things I put in mind. What about you? What do you put in your journal?
Yeah, same thing. Usually I write down my expectations for the yarn. If the colorway is the same as I had pictured it, how I think that the yarn would knit up, and my first impressions when I start knitting with the yarn. Then yeah, I use washi tape as well.
Oh, you do too?
Yes, but not all the time. Sometimes I like it, you know, my minimalist mind needs to have everything clean and, you know, declutter the
page. So you'll use clear tape?
Yes, on the back of the yarn label, so I don't see tape on my page.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. That's what I meant for the, for when I put it over the yarn, I used to use clear. And sometimes I still use clear or I'll use the brown. But every once in a while, I have this cute sheep washi tape that Kate from Infinite Twist sent out in one of her Critter Sock Club. That was what it was. And she sent this washi tape. And oh my gosh, Melody, it's the one that I put on your parcel. I don't know if you remember it. It's these cute little sheep on the washi tape.
Yes.
Yes. So I use that
I keep the tape as well.
Isn't it the most adorable? I'll have to ask her for listeners to know where they can get it too. But I'll put something cute on that if it matches.
And for the yarn, I do the same as you. I use clear tape or sometimes I like to, especially if I have color work, I like to wrap the different colors around a card, a small card.
Yes.
And then I just stick the card on the page so you can see the color variation a bit better and see how the colors work together. And sometimes I like to make, to wrap the yarn like a little bow. You know, and stick it like this. I like to do different things with the yarn.
I'll do that. I'll take and make like a little butterfly, like a little tiny bobbin.
Yes.
And what I usually do, and this is just as a keepsake, and this is a freebie takeaway for listeners, just because I can't tell you how many times I have thought, okay, I'm done with a project and it's a shawl, it's a cardigan. Most often it's a cardigan and it's either the cuff or the button area or perhaps a side seam. And it starts to need attention. So the button popped off and I need to replace the button. And I'm just so particular. I really want to put it back on with the same yarn that the other buttons are made out of, you know, fixed. And what I find is if I make, and I'll make one good size one, and then I'll make a couple little small, first aid kits. And then I put a pocket on the inside of my journal
Yes.
I just take a piece of construction paper
or
an envelope, and I tape it down flat, and then I put the just a few
and sometimes
and I put those in there, so that way, heaven forbid, you get a puka on your sleeve where it's kind of caught and unraveling, and you just go and you seam that up real quick.
Yeah, you can even put buttons in that envelope.
Oh my gosh, there you go. Just taking my idea and improve upon it. There you go. That's, I'm writing that down now, buttons.
You know, like everything that you need.
Yes, it's yes. I usually, I'm such a button freak that I keep, I have so many tins. Like when my mom comes, she always brings her tins of buttons. And I always take more and more. And she got on me last time. She's like, Melissa, she's like, the buttons that I used to have diminished so much because you're always just like, one more button. And she laughs. She's just kidding. She has more buttons than the button lady does. But I was thinking too, the other thing that I add, and I can say this because I love, there's a dyer I don't know if listeners know about, and if she's listening, I'll have to tell her that I'm mentioning her on today's podcast. But her name is Sarah Derue, and she is out of where my kid sister, my baby sister, is living in Savannah, Georgia. And my kid sister loves it there. It's super artsy, beautiful place. And it's not far south of us, just, you know, the next state down. Mm-hmm. But Sarah Derue has a beautiful company called the Copper Corgi. And it's named after her corgi, who is copper colored. But she makes these cute labels for her yarn where inside you see a picture of her. And her smiling face next to the dye pots, I love it. And so when I have an image like that of the dyer, and I've done it for her, I don't think I've done it for anybody else because I haven't seen any images. But I will say that's something I'm so stoked that she does, because I actually taped her tag in on the page that I was doing a sweater project in her yarn, because I just love the fact that here is this picture of this woman and I'm connecting with her a little bit more, and I've met her in person. I've talked to her before plenty of times. But I can see the face behind the hands that made my yarn.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's kind of fun when dyers do that.
Yes.
So I don't know if there are any people who are thinking about starting independent dyeing stuff for yarns, and they're looking at making beautiful labels for these great yarns that they might want to attach their picture to. Melody, just saying. But yeah, that's something else.
My face on the back. Hello.
Yeah, Sarah does that. She's kind of like out by her dye pots, and it's outdoors. And it's just, she's so natural. And yeah, so I think that's kind of cool. Well, I've balled up all my yarn.
Really?
Like the one skein, actually. And this is a delightfully dumb Mel moment. So I usually break the yarn. And I pull it, and I've been having tremors in my left hand, which I know knitters everywhere, you guys, we all have issues with our hands, and I'm no different. So today I decided, you know what, I broke the first one and my hand was fatigued. So I got out the scissors. I know, I don't know why people let me have scissors. But I snipped through what I thought was the choke tie on the yarn. And so I'm going to take a picture, and that'll be my Instagram post for today. I actually have one great size ball, and then one smaller size ball, and then one itty bitty bobbin size that I can put in my envelope for repairs, because I did not cut just through the choke tie. I actually cut through a strand of the skein of yarn. So yeah, I've got now 3 balls of yarn from the first skein, because I'm a noob, as my kids would say. But yeah. Well, today has been so much fun. I'm so eager now to get my day started and to spend some time with my kids doing school. And as we're doing school, I'm going to start working on Discovery, the beautiful charts. And I love the patterns, and I love how the patterns are moving and doing different things connected to the other, and how that affects it. I love the scarf. I'm so excited about it. So thank you for making that pattern.
You're welcome. Thank you for knitting it.
So your big plans for the day?
You know, it's 3:40 right now. I have a lot of things to do. I have my checklist right next to me and I don't want to look at it.
You just want to look at the yarn and be happy. I saw your yarn on Instagram and I resisted the urge to squeal really loudly, but I did. I found it and it's beautiful. So
yeah, I just don't know which yarn to use yet. So
I can't wait. I'm not going to advise. I'm not going to weigh in on that one. I think I'm just going to let you, and I kind of am excited just to see where you go with it. Mm-hmm. I'm going to take a picture and put mine up too and show everybody my little balls of yarn. So when you're listening to this, anybody, if you look and see the images, that's the one I'm talking about.
All right. That's the yarn.
That's the yarn from the podcast. Well, Melody, the time always goes so fast with
you. That's true.
I love it though. It makes me excited for my day.
Yeah. And it's wonderful, you know, just that we can chat like this. I was actually knitting, trying not to make too much noise. So yeah, it's just a lot of fun to talk to you. Not every week, but almost every week, and share one of our many conversations.
I know. This is great, great fun. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Well, thanks so much for joining us today. I hope that you feel encouraged to start a project with excitement and with an eye towards being your best advocate. We can learn so much from ourselves and our projects. We just need to notice the amazingness that lies within us. I hope this week you'll do just that, to discover or rediscover how incredible you are. Your story is important. Your story is beautiful. Your story is worth telling. If you enjoyed today's episode, let us know. If you leave us an iTunes review, you could be one of the monthly winners of free yarn. Want to connect with us and share your story? You can email me at hellomelissa@6bitstorybooks.com. And lastly, we hope that you are excited by what we share, excited enough to proudly share us with others. So tell a friend. A story can be greatly enriched by the audience it reaches. And we want that for 6bits. So until next week, love the moment that you can create.